The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dr. Taz, and you're here with the Dr. Taz Show. I am pleased to bring you Dr. Jackson. Dr. Jackson is a naturopath. She's the owner of Eco Health Wellness Center and Detox Spa, located in beautiful Charleston, which I miss. I haven't been there in a while. Dr. Jackson is going to share with us some of her tips and tricks to staying healthy. We're going to talk about gut function and also about her practice. Welcome, Dr. Jackson.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
We are thrilled to have you on, and we just want to learn more about what you do and what your focus is. So many of my guests have the most amazing stories of their health journeys and what brought them into this space. I am curious, before we talk about all the really neat things that you're doing, you know, kind of what made you want to become a naturopath, and how did that evolve and evolve into creating your own practice?
Yeah, actually, I get asked that a lot. And, you know, it's funny because I had never heard of naturopathic medicine growing up. I grew up in the South in Roanoke, Virginia, and I tell everybody I grew up on, you know, fried chicken and, you know, very unhealthy diet. And I ended up going to school up north at the University of Massachusetts, and it opened my mind up to a whole different world. There were local farms around, and I learned about hydroponic farming and, you know, more organic foods. So I really got interested once I took a holistic health course. That's kind of a funny story, because one of my friends asked me to take a holistic nursing course for an extra credit I needed. And I didn't even know what the word holistic meant. Like, she had to explain it to me. That was when I was in college about 15 years ago. So, I took the holistic nursing course, and we had a guest speaker who was a naturopathic doctor that came into the classroom and just told us everything about how naturopathic medicine worked and how the body had this innate energy to heal itself, and you had to feed it the right nutrition, and there were herbs that did things to the human body that were very positive with healing. And I was fascinated with it. And at the time, I was an exercise science major. And in college, my mom was going through breast cancer. So it was tough. I was always, you know, interested in health and wanting to, you know, be able to do things for my mom. And seeing her go through chemo and radiation and bone marrow transplant, it was tough. And I just became interested in naturopathic medicine, started searching all the different colleges, didn't even know they existed. There's four colleges here in the country. And, you know, my dad along the way got colon cancer. And, you know, so I've been challenged around me on a personal level with cancer. And I've just become kind of obsessed with it and wanting to create healing around that. So my practice evolved really go ahead.
I was going to say, was that really the impetus to get involved in the field, is working with cancer and seeing it so firsthand?
I went to naturopathic medicine just for an interest, but, you know, while I was there, I think I became really more focused on environmental medicine and detox. I'm a why person. I want to know why. What is causing this? Why are people getting cancer? Why do we have diabetes? Why is there so much cardiovascular? So, you know, you got to kind of reverse your thinking and get to the root of the cause as to why these symptoms are presenting. And so, you know, it wasn't the reason I went to naturopathic medical school, but while I was there, having these cancer diagnoses all around me, it just kind of forced me to learn more about nutrition and what was causing these nutritional deficiencies that could bring on cancer or toxicities that could probably contribute to it. You know, there's not one clear answer, but I'm a big believer that there's a lot of things around us that we could do a little bit more for our bodies to help prevent ourselves from mutating and dysfunctioning. So
that's
kind of where I'm at. And, you know, just helping people, teaching people how we can prevent disease. So that's where I'm at with my practice right now in Charleston.
Fantastic. So you named your practice Eco Health. Do you see a lot of cancer patients there at Eco Health?
We do. I have a handful of cancer patients. Believe it or not, in the low country, in Charleston, South Carolina, I see a lot of mold. We have a lot of mold toxicity.
Yep.
I have a handful of Lyme patients, a lot of people with gut problems, food sensitivities, skin issues, chronic eczema, psoriasis. I attract quite a plethora of different people, but I do, just because of my history with my family and people know. Mm-hmm. In my lectures, I really bring it up a lot, just about cancer, because everybody knows somebody with cancer. So I see a lot of people going through chemo and can help them nutritionally along the way, or after they've gone through their treatment, if they're looking for an integrative approach. I'm there to help however I can.
Yeah, your clinic sounds a lot like mine. So for a lot of our listeners,
I know. I think we do have a lot in common. Next time you come to Charleston, we'll have to get together.
Yes, I would love to see it. But, you know, for a lot of, you know, I get asked often, am I a naturopath, which I'm not. You are. I would love for you to explain to our viewers maybe the one or two key things about naturopaths that they should know, and kind of how is a naturopath different sort of in the healthcare and the wellness scene? What's really their role and their identity there?
Yeah, so a naturopathic doctor, we go to a 4-year medical school. We have to pass our clinical sciences. We do a lot that regular medical doctors do, except we learn more nutrition. We learn a lot about Chinese medicine. We learn about homeopathy. We learn about physical medicine. We learn acupuncture. I mean, it goes on and on. We're learning all of these natural approaches to be able to help the body and bring the body back in balance. And, you know, I look as a naturopathic doctor as somebody that can work alongside with your regular medical practitioner. At least in South Carolina, all of my patients still have an internist or a regular MD. And then I'm there to kind of be that third wheel, to be able to say, okay, you know, based on this, all of your labs, we can help you do this and that with nutrition. Because regular medical doctors really don't get a lot of nutrition. They're really not getting to the root of the cause.
Right.
You know, they're trained a lot in what is the symptom. We have to have a different, you know, it's the differential diagnosis world. Like, if you're a medical doctor, you're going through your head, what label can I put on it, and what medicine can I prescribe? In the naturopathic medical world, we're thinking more of what is causing this, what symptom is out of balance, what is not functioning properly, and how can we support that to get it back in balance, to bring balance to the body.
That's my hope for the medical world, is that we really change that, you know, and change that approach, and, you know, work with people like you and really expand our toolbox so that we're not limited to prescribing medications. Do you feel like the medical community likes to work with you, or what sort of reception do you get from them?
You know, it's funny. When I started my practice 10 years ago, no. I mean, they were not open to it at all. I'll never forget, I had pediatricians calling my office telling me I was crazy taking the children off of dairy for their skin problems and for their chronic allergies. Now it's a totally different ballgame. I think we're at a tipping point where we really are. There, you know, people, I think it's the public, it's the internet, everybody is very frustrated, and it's a vicious cycle, and people are not in the medical community. I'm finding that most of my patients are telling me none of the doctors, none of these specialists are communicating, and they're really frustrated. So they're seeking out alternatives, and there's a lot out there now on the internet. And I'm just excited that, you know, the Cleveland Clinic now has different naturopathic doctors on board, and there's different, you know, Cancer Centers of America, they have naturopathic doctors that are working on board right now with regular medical doctors. We're really, I think, at this shifting point where it is going to be more of a holistic approach and integrative approach, with both doctors working together as a team.
Absolutely. And I think that's the only good way for medicine to really be practiced. You need a lot of people sitting at the table. They need to have that team mentality and team approach. And I think then collectively, honestly, we all benefit. And reading through some of the work that you've done, Dr. Jackson, I was looking, you've done a lot with the digestive system, and you, like me, really believe that a lot of healing begins in the gut. So I was wondering if you wanted to talk a little bit about leaky gut and the role of leaky gut in many different illnesses that you listed off that you often see, and what is your approach to maybe battling leaky gut with your patients?
Yeah, I mean, that is one big thing that everybody, all my patients will tell you. I say over and over and over again, I'm like a robot. Health begins in the gut. I don't care what problem you present yourself with at my practice. Like, I always go to the gut first. And it's amazing it just fascinates me how many people that have all these chronic health issues, they all have gut problems. So,
yes.
You know, to me, I'm like, this isn't rocket science. Let's start fixing this part first before we, you know, start trying to attack every, you know, for example, skin, you know, attacking it topically with steroidal creams and stuff like that. Most people with skin problems have really bad constipation issues or IBS or chronic diarrhea. So, yeah, leaky gut is a whole nother ball game. But the best way that I can explain it, and it's exactly what eco-health means, is, you know, the human body is inhabited by billions of bacteria. I mean, we're this ecological community of bacteria. It exists all within us. It's in our skin, it's in our mouth, it's in our GI system, in the vaginal area. We have all these different bacteria and these viruses and fungi that all live and exist peacefully within us. And they do a lot of good for us. They help us digest food. They help us strengthen our immune systems, and they even protect us from dangerous pathogens. So most of us carry a lot of also harmful bacteria in our bodies as well, but we don't have disease. They just kind of coexist. These harmful bacteria coexist with the good bugs. So what happens is when the normal, like this good flora, these good bugs that are in this microbiota of our ecosystem, once they shift, and the good ones become deficient and the bad ones start to take over, that's when we start to have disease. And we usually see that happening once we've had some issues and some damage to the gut lining. So when you really get down on a microscopic level and you look at these cells of the intestines, leaky gut is a term to describe. It's called hyperpermeability intestines, and it's a fancy medical term that means there's little holes that are in the intestines, and that's resulting in a lot of undigested food molecules and other kinds of these bacteria and toxins and the yeast that can be there that usually don't get through the lining of the intestine to actually flow freely into your bloodstream. And your blood doesn't want these things there, and once it gets there, it just creates this, it wreaks havoc basically on your immune system. So that and that's a little explanation there of leaky gut. I could go on and on.
And I get,
stop me.
Yeah, and I get asked all the time about leaky gut. I'll always try to give a visual. I mean, imagine like a little trash bag that you fill up, but then you poke holes in it left and right, and things start to seep out, but they seep out slowly. So, you know, a lot of us in this field, we deal with leaky gut, and we are now calling it in the medical community, we call it malabsorption. We call it, like you said, increased intestinal permeability. But essentially what we're saying is that the gut lining has been eaten away for a variety of reasons, and that in turn creates low-grade inflammation that leads to a host of illnesses in our children and in adults. And it's exactly what Dr. Jackson is talking about today. I know in our practice we have different protocols for dealing with leaky gut. What do you like to do? What have you seen the most effective when you're dealing with somebody with leaky gut? What is like your first number one or two things that you tell them to do?
You know, first I start with digestion in the mouth. Like, you really need to support the body with enzymes and breaking down the food so we don't get as much leaking through. So I do a lot of plant enzymes. I do a lot of digestimes with hydrochloric acid in it, HCl. A lot of people with gut issues, they don't have enough hydrochloric acid in their gut. So I kind of start there. You also need probiotics. Most people with leaky gut are extremely deficient in probiotics. So, you know, that can be a little tricky finding the right one, because I find a lot of time with my patients that have leaky gut, as soon as you introduce a probiotic, their symptoms get worse because we start kicking out those bad bugs and they off gas, and those toxins that they kick off can make people feel pretty crummy. I do a lot of liver support with my people with leaky gut, because you have to remember all these toxins now that aren't supposed to be in the bloodstream are leaking into the bloodstream, and then the blood is filtered by the liver. So it's this kind of forgotten organ that not many people talk about and do much about. So I like to support the liver, and then I have a lot of healing powders and healing supplements that we can heal the damage to the lining. You need a lot of different amino acids and anti-inflammatories, and you know, I don't use the same thing for everybody. It really depends on their history, but in a nutshell, that's kind of how I approach the healing process.
And how much does food play into it? Do you put your patients, I know different practices do different things, do you immediately put your patients through a detox or a food elimination to deal with this gut-liver piece, or do you do things more gradually? What do you like to do?
I'm pretty conservative. So every patient that comes through, I develop a 12-week plan for them. Yes, in general, I can't believe that wasn't the first thing I said, was talking about diet and the food. We have to identify what foods are really contributing to a lot of this, these leaky gut issues and what's leaking through, because most people with leaky gut have food sensitivities. You know, I do some testing to identify that in some cases, and sometimes other, you probably know just as well, once you've been doing it for so long, it you can identify them quite well. There's a couple yes. big ones, the wheat and the dairy and soy, eggs is another one that tends to be, and corn. Those are the top five. I do get people on a pretty strict diet, depending on how they're presenting in their health history. But, you know, starting with eliminating wheat and dairy, those are two big ones. And then, you know, I like a really clean diet. Sometimes I'll try to get people doing paleo. But, you know, I'll be honest, here in the South, it's been extremely challenging because I always say,
I'm sure, I'm here with you,
religion before I can change their diet. It's really, really hard being in Charleston, South Carolina, which is like the number one foodie town in America, to get people to really change their diet. So I go really slow. We focus on usually one food a week. Like, I'll challenge people to just try to get out of their diet, even if they can, you know, half the amount and eat that food every other day. So yeah, a very clean diet. And then I don't rush people right into a detox. I find people with leaky gut, if they go right into a detox, they're going to make themselves really sick. So in my 12-week programs, we usually wait until between weeks 6 and 12 to do a detox. But again, everybody's different.
Absolutely. And, you know, for those of our listeners that are out there, just please keep in mind, you know, there's so many different symptoms of leaky gut, and that term gets thrown around a lot. But I would say anyone with any digestive issue, anyone with any inflammatory issue or rashes that are unexplained, joint pain, you know, these are things that are signs that you might have leaky gut, and really digging into how your digestive system's working and also digging into the foods you're eating. And like Dr. Jackson mentioned, wheat, dairy, soy, corn, you know, these are the big ones that we find, you know, yeast over and over again that seem to affect the majority of the population once their gut is attacked, once you do go into this mode of leaky gut. I also love, Dr. Jackson, how you're including the liver as a part of the digestive system. I think, you know, I'm trained in Chinese medicine and acupuncture, and Chinese medicine is one of the systems of medicine that don't neglect the liver when we're talking about digestive health. And I think that in the, you know, modern medical model or the conventional medical model, the liver is seen as something completely separate that we don't need to pay a whole lot of attention to as it relates back to digestive health. So I think that's a lot of similarity between the two of us as well. You know, how often do you tell your patients to do a detox? I get asked about this all the time. Do I need to do something daily, or do I do something, you know, once or twice a year? You know, when we think detox, we think about cleaning up the liver. But my answer back is always every day is an opportunity to keep both your gut and your liver clean. And the better you ingrain those daily habits, the less dependence you'll need on organized detoxes and organized programs. What's your take on that?
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. You know, I give everyone on my program gets the liver support. And I do 2 to 3 capsules every night at bed. I love to support the liver every day because we're bombarded every day by so much. I mean, especially with people with what they're eating and the processed foods and preservatives and, you know, refined flours and all the stuff that toxins that are in our water and that we're exposed to just with pollution. And I mean, it's everywhere. We can't really control it. So our liver is on overload. And another thing I like to teach my patients, too, because I think it's real confusing, because patients always come and say, oh, here's all my lab work. Everything's normal. But they have all of these symptoms. And, you know, I sit down, and all my consults are an hour and a half long, and I go through and explain to them every single thing that their lab is telling them. And when we get to the AST and the ALT, that's the part of the liver enzymes, and those are normal. And I say, even though these are normal, you know, we are still going to support your liver, because you have to understand, when those enzymes are actually really high and off the charts, that's usually telling us that the liver cells are breaking down. And sometimes that can be too late. They're only going to break down once the damage is done. So, you know, your liver's clogged. We're exposed to all this stuff, and we need to support the liver, especially if you have leaky gut. So I do it on, you know, a daily basis, of course. And then I love doing a detox change of the season. Most of my patients, we do detoxes, you know, it's funny, I have it, you know, we promote them in our office because I feel like just with our cycles of life, we do them at the new year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You do them after Labor Day, after Memorial Day, and then, you know, usually around or before we go into the holidays. So it's
I like that. I so like, it's New Year's, Labor Day, Memorial Day, and then after the holidays.
Yeah. Well, after the holidays.
Did I get it right?
Right before the holidays, before you go into, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, we'll usually do something in October, usually, like, right after Halloween. Because people, you know, they've been gorging on candy and been a little unhealthy. But people do want to look good and feel good going into the holidays. So we found that's a big time to kind of promote them. Usually, the beginning of November, we'll start promoting them right around Halloween. And we usually get a couple good groups going.
Fantastic. You know, I'm thinking this may be what your Echo Cleanse is about. Is that what the Echo Cleanse is?
Yeah, so we have designed, it's a 14-day detox program. And, you know, I tell everybody, you know, you hear the word detox thrown around so much and kind of casually, but detox means different things to different people. You could do, you know, a juice cleanse, you could do a water fast, you could just eat fruits and vegetables and do a cleanse or a detox. So I have designed my Eco Health or the Eco Cleanse to really focus on pushing the liver, and that's understanding that phase one and phase two detoxification. A lot of us aren't able to really clear toxins, and that's because of the chemical process that happens in the liver. So you need the adequate amount of certain vitamins and certain minerals and certain amino acids to be able to get that phase two part of the liver to upregulate so you can detox. So that's what my Eco Cleanse does. And you can still eat. I find a lot of patients, you know, if you tell them you can't eat or do anything, it's really hard for them to continue to work and, you know, have a quality of life while they're cleansing. So the two-week Eco Cleanse, you replace two meals a day with shakes. Preferably, you would do one in the morning and you do one at night for dinner. And then you can eat a really clean diet. You eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds, and lean, clean meats, mm-hmm. and no hormones, no antibiotics. And then you can, you know, do your shakes. And then we also have a little packet of supplements that you take that really help to push the liver. So we keep it really easy, and most people love it. The shakes taste really good, and people find themselves craving it. Some people end up doing it for an extra week. And then I have some patients that will only do it for 1 week. So, you know, preferably I like to get the whole 2 weeks in. But, you know, every patient's different. We just got to find that balance.
All right, guys, since Memorial Day is really not that far away, it might be time to check out the Eco Cleanse with Dr. Jackson.
Yes,
I love it.
Please do. You can go to our website, ecohealthwellness.com, and then you just click down on the Eco Cleanse. You'll see a tab there for it.
Fantastic. And then you also do some webinars. Do you want to just maybe quickly tell us about those? And may want to go
so
on there and learn more.
You know, my Eco Health is pretty much my brainchild. And it's the reason, you know, I was inspired to create what's called Natural Medicine Now University. It's a series of 35 webinars. It took me about 2 years to complete to educate my patients on the importance of gut health and liver detoxification and how to have a healthy diet and understanding the mind-body connection and the importance of meditation and, you know, how to eat healthy at your desk, how to eat healthy while you're traveling. I mean, we've covered every single topic. I tell all my patients, I don't have 50 hours to sit down and go over all this with you, so I have these webinars. Each one's about 20, 30 minutes in length. You can just watch them on your lunch break and, you know, get through all 35. And it's really, I'm really proud of it. It's great information, and it's been life-changing for a lot of my patients that have been, you know, really sick. And you can kind of learn at your own pace. We do have eco health coaches that help follow and support you along the way. So, check it out. That's naturalmedicinenow.com.
So naturalmedicinenow.com. Well, Dr. Jackson, thank you so much for taking time to join us. For my listeners and my audience, I hope you've learned a little bit more about leaky gut. It's a fundamental concept to a lot of what we do, and digestive health in general is something I know Dr. Jackson would agree that we want everyone to really get a handle on. It is the root of your health. And if you can't fix your gut, then you really are signing up for all kinds of things down the road. So really understand leaky gut. Maybe take some of this advice where you look at foods, especially the big ones, the wheat, corn, gluten, soy, sugar, dairy. Those are the big guys that usually contribute to leaky gut. And then think about starting a protocol, whether it's Dr. Jackson's or mine or many of the other wonderful experts that are out there and talk about this topic of really healing and sealing your leaky gut to prevent inflammation and the diseases of the future. Thank you, Dr. Jackson, for joining us. I really appreciate it. I hope to have you on again and we can tackle a different topic maybe next time. And for everybody else, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks so much.